Got it. All right. Yep. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the 30 to Life podcast, where we break stereotypes, build legacies, and help others along the way. It's your boy, Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world, brown.
And thank you for tuning in to another episode of 30 to Life. It's been a couple weeks, guys. We're so appreciative of your patience, you know, as we navigate this thing called life. And just a lot of things are going on in this world. So if you're going through tough times, keep your head up like your nose is bleeding. It's tough. So, you know, just keep moving forward. And, you know, we created this podcast really to motivate others, to inspire others, to break stereotypes, build legacies, and of course, help others along the way. So, Brown, it's been a couple of weeks. How are you doing? Yeah. How's everything? You know, we just celebrated a birthday.
Father's Day. Birthday, Father's Day,
Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, yes.
Oh yeah, that was all on the same weekend.
On the same thing, man. It was a busy couple of days. But it was much needed getaway
from the family.
well, you know, that's kind of true in some sense, because you know, waking up with kids every morning and not getting a full night. I got 3 full nights of sleep with nobody waking me up in the morning. Nobody crying. It was beautiful, bro. It was beautiful. I think that was the most, with exception to spending, you know, a lot of quality time with my wife, I think that was the most favorited part of the trip.
So did it feel like you, like when y'all were married before kids?
Yes. Like it was amazing, bro. It was amazing.
So would you want to stay in that moment for like 2-3 years and then have
no. After the second day, we both was like, all right, we missed our kids. Like, it's time to go back. Like, I think we just needed 48 to 72 hours.
48 hours.
We didn't really need an overnight.
Yep.
Yeah, even that. Yeah. Like that's just something. I think that is important for all of us parents out there, because breaks are needed. That to wake up and not have nobody asking for nothing, nobody crying.
Yeah, you definitely need a date night, you need overnight, and just do something so you can, you know, refresh, right? You know, and you know, focus on you for a day or two. So I'm with it. We do it too, so it's definitely always needed. You know, just more you find the time.
But your mother-in-law watches. Your mother-in-law watches your daughter, right?
Well, she's in daycare.
Oh, so when she's in daycare, you guys do stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you know, I have the remote flexibility sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we just do random stuff sometimes.
Cheat code
and stuff. Yeah. You know. Nah, no cheat code, man. No cheat code. I'm trying to get the cheat code, but I'm still not there. I'm still at the interest of the Matrix. So but yeah, I wanted to talk about parenting. Mm-hmm. and you know, the amazing parents that we are, our dads. And you wrote your first children's book, Daddy's Weekend.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, it represents a lot. So can you tell everybody a little bit more about Daddy's Weekend?
Yeah. Weekends. No problem. Yeah, so this book has been in my head for a very, 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 very long time. And one day, a couple of years ago, maybe like 2 years ago, I decided to, you know, I just got that burst of inspirational energy to get the process started. So I called one of my friends that I went to school with, and I knew he was a working artist and loved his work that he's able to create. So I hit him up, you know, worked out a deal, paid for it, and got the process started. And how I did it was, essentially, I had already had the words written, and I had everything pictured out exactly how I wanted it. So I literally just sent him page by page descriptions of how I wanted and the colors I wanted, because I knew exactly what I wanted. I just didn't know how to draw it the way I knew he would be able to draw it. So anyway, I sent him page by page. And then he said, okay. Then, you know, it took him about a little over a year just to get everything done. I will say that I did not expect it to look as good as it did. He did exceed my expectations in terms of the art. And so long story short, the book is about a little girl who sees her father's on the week, her father on the weekends. And at that time they have is special. And then the father really uses the time wisely to teach her things that he would normally teach her throughout the week, but he has to condense it in the weekend. And then really the father is just, you know, just like your average father who just wants the best for his child. And, you know, at the end he has it a little, it's not really said, but he has a little emotional experience walking to the car, dropping his daughter off, because, you know, every time he drops his daughter off, and this is actually true to me, like every time I used to drop my daughter off, you know, I felt sad because, you know, I knew I had to wait another weekend to see her. So that's what the book is about. It's a really quick book, great book. The book is really designed to teach the children how to convey their voice with meaning. So it's a lot of exclamation points, a lot of excitement. Some vocabulary in there that all children, I think, should start learning, which is, for example, a legacy and royalty, really trying to make a bridge back to, or make an interest to get a bridge back to our African ancestry and our African spiritual roots. It's a deep book, you know, it might come across as not as deep on the surface, but there's a lot of levels and layers to the book that I incorporated into it.
Love it, bro. No, it's a great book. The illustration is great. I got a copy right here. So for everyone to see it right here, get it. It's beautifully illustrated. I guess one of the things I was thinking of, like, for fathers who, like, you know, get this book, you know, what do you want, what is this book trying to say to them?
Yeah, so it's trying to say that use your time with them wisely. Like, I know that we have a lot of distractors, being men in general, and I had to say this to myself, like, you know, even though I have a lot of work to do, I want to make sure that I still carve out specific times of my day to instill certain things within my daughter. So for me, like, you know, meditation is big, or just positive thinking. And, you know, even yesterday I could say my daughter runs track, and she has this thing where she just says she can't does it. And so I'm teaching her a fixed spot mindset versus having a fluid mindset. So like little things like that, like use those opportunities to teach and use them wisely and use them intentionally, because even though they might not come across as if they're absorbing the information, I'm finding that they ultimately are. They just don't realize that they're absorbing it because it comes back to them.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Nowadays, you know, work, you know, if you're married, you got your marriage life, you got work life, you got parent life, you got, you know, outside of, you know, just your regular hobbies and stuff that you do. And sometimes, you know, you can lose focus. And I remember an episode before, someone that said, you only really can do like two or three things great. So something is always missing out. And it may be like, you know, the have fun stuff, right? You got to lose that, your hobbies, and, you know, you focus on your marriage, focus on your parenting, you focus on work, but you gotta, you know, be intentional and focus with your time, especially with your kids, because the kids don't remember what you say. They remember what you do, right? Mm-hmm. Like those experiences and that time and what you do with them. And, you know, I see that more so now, even with my daughter, just like, you know, the things that I do, she just like mimics and follows and stuff. And it's like, you have to be cognizant of that. And I think it's really, really important. So yeah, I think that's a good, great takeaway. And you learn that obviously as you get older and older. But once you learn it, like, you start making those changes right away.
Yeah, it's interesting, because even the fact that you said they look at everything, that right there, if you don't have children and you're not going to get this, but when you do, you'll automatically see, because they're literally looking at everything you do, and you don't realize that they're looking at you sometimes because you're so into whatever you're doing. But a lot of things we do is habitual, so you're not even cognizant of the things that you're doing. For instance, I didn't realize how much I chuckle after I speak sometimes, and so now I noticed that he started doing that. I was like, I don't want him to do that. So like little things like that, like it's, yo, you really have to pay attention to.
Yeah. They definitely, and they learn so fast. It's scary how learn they fast, how fast they learn.
Yeah.
With certain things, and they can easily pick up your bad habits if you're not careful. And then they have to unlearn what they learned by watching you doing. And you're like, where did you get that from? And then you'd be like, dang, I didn't realize I do that and stuff. So, cause I know me, like I'll fix a plate of food. Sometimes I'll wait like 30 minutes and then eat it. And then my daughter's like, oh, I ate it later or something like that. And I'm like, oh man, like I got to eat right away. So she knows you're supposed to eat right away. So it's small things, but it's just like they pick up on everything and they will mimic you.
Yeah.
They definitely will mimic you. So you said that it took a year to work this out and everything. Can you take us behind like the logistics for people who may want to write a children's book as well, or a book in general?
Yeah, so you can actually pump these things out fast. Like, that's what I was going to say. Like, having at least an ebook, or even just going through the whole Amazon KDB process, to me, there is no reason why nobody should have at least some type of literary work of art out there, because the ease of creating these things is just actually phenomenal. So like I actually, after this, like I have a whole lot more ideas that I want to bring forth and bring out because of the ease of this. Like now I have a complete understanding of what this process is, and yo, it's going to be a problem. But anyway, long story short is it took a year because, you know, sometimes you have an idea in your head and you want it as perfectly, or I'll speak for myself. I want it as perfectly as I want it. Like even with like the afterness of the book, like how it is right now, I'm not completely happy with it. Like there are things that I want to change. But long story short is a lot of iterations, you know, a lot of patience with the illustrator, because you know I know he had other projects that he was working on. So in the detail, I didn't realize the detail that went into actually illustrating. And illustrating somebody else's vision at that. So that took a while. And I would say that taught me a lot of patience, because I didn't realize that it took a lot of detail, and that detail takes time, and that time takes patience. And you know, I could have all this creative energy and I want to move now, and I want to, like, you know, network these things now, and I have these opportunities to do now, and it's like, no, slow up, because I need to get this right. And I know and I had to keep telling myself, you know, my time will come, just be patient. So there was a lot of internal things going on in there, and I will say, like, this whole process taught me a lot, but mostly to be patient and to be intentional with my time.
The patience is always key. You know, obviously you have to keep on taking actions toward whatever your goal that you have, but like knowing that, like they say all the time, Rome wasn't built overnight, right? Yeah. It took brick by brick, or no different than the pyramids or anything that you are creating. It takes time. So it's definitely, you have to continue being focused and intentional with your time. So those are a great point as well.
We even noticed that from the podcast, right? Like we had this original intention of what the podcast would be and will be, and we're still not even where we want to be. But I think that, you know, it took us a long time to get to even to this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's with anything that you're trying to build from scratch.
Yeah. It's a perfect example of the podcast, because, you know, we started, you know, one, I guess, we had branding a little different previously, and then, you know, we evolved from there, and now we, you know, figure out, you know, how we want to impact the world and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's patience with that as well. And, you know, for all our listeners listening right now, appreciate your patience too, because, you know, we have, you know, changed in many ways and improved and you've been along that journey with us as well, right? You saw different renditions of the podcast and, you know, us going to, you know, timely topics to really focusing on, you know, a bit building the business, wealth building, legacy, you know, all of those things that are important in our community that we felt that we needed to address each and every episode, because, you know, we do care about, you know, the term 30 to life, right? You know, improving in each and every way. And sometimes it's hard, you know, wanting to do that, because Brown, me and you talking about, like, you know, our older episodes, like on the, with the buzzworthy topics or clickworthy topics, people gravitate to that more than, you know, you talking about, you know, how to increase your income or how to build a business or anything like that. And you look at it, you're like, what, why is that more important than this? And it goes back to being patient, right? And believing in your vision and stuff like that. And you going through, you're building, you know, your first children's book took a year. I know you already wrote it. You already wrote the word. So you're like, okay,
yo, let's get
in
this
2 months.
Bro.
Like, I should be done and stuff like that. So, you know, having patience, right, is important, right? And also, you know, having that roadmap, that game plan to what that's going to look like. So all wise advice to give to people and stuff like that. So, you said Amazon, you know, Amazon is, you know, changing the game in terms of, you know, digital books in general. So how has that experience been, just, you know, working with them?
I guess the process, they have it down. That's why I said that there's literally no reason why nobody should have any type of literary artwork or literary information, ebook, free ebook, whatever it is. Like, they have the process down to a T. And I know that they bought a company that actually did it, but still, it's theirs and they have the process down. So all you really do is you have your manuscript, you upload your manuscript, you have a book cover, you upload the book cover. And I mind you, I went on YouTube to look up all of this prior. So, I mean, I literally had to, I wrote down step by step. So it made my life easier on the back end. So I'm not figuring a whole bunch of things out. But anyway, long story short is you go online, you upload all these files and they process everything. My recommendation is to copyright it prior to uploading it. So that's what I did. I got everything copyrighted prior to uploading. And I got it copyrighted under my LLC. And I did that because, you know, just because, really, so this is my first time actually doing it. So I can't even say this is like, I can't even tell you like exactly all the benefits of it, but I just followed the advice of someone who advised me to put it under my business's LLC. So I did that. And everything was literally the easiest thing. It took less than a day to upload it, but I just had to have the files.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So technology once again has, you know, made things much easier. You know, before you had to go through someone else and they had to be the gatekeeper for you to be able to create something like this. And now you can, you know, tell this story through, you know, your life experience to impact other fathers and mothers throughout this entire world, right? Because it's global at this point. So, you know, one thing I want to ask is, like, your daughter, like, when she read the book, like, what was her thoughts on it?
No, she. So my daughter is at that age where she's like almost 13. So even if I like go to give her a hug or a kiss, she's like, get away from me. So she looked at it, she said, oh, I didn't know you printed it out. And then she read it, then smiled, and then put it down and went on the phone. but I will say this though, I'm happy that a version of it is going to always forever be on Amazon, because my whole goal of the book is for her to look at it as an adult and for her to kind of peel back the layers, like, because she'll know me more and then she'll read the words and understand what I really meant, because I had been teaching her these things on the weekends all the time. So in reality, if nobody ever buys the book, I don't care, because really the book is for her anyway. So yeah.
No, I love that. Love that. Yeah. You know, at that age, preteen, teenager, right? Like, you don't care about nobody, right? Like, but But you know, as you like, when it was it like you would say like 23, 24, 25, you start like, oh, my parents did this, my parents did this. And then when you're 30, like, oh, now my parents did this. So yeah. That would be interesting to see, like, oh wow, like, you know, the experience, especially. And then when you know you have kids, then you're like, oh wow, it's not as easy as it thought, or whatever, like that. So
yeah,
that's definitely something that's important. And you're creating something for her that's timeless. And you know, for your son and, you know, your family, friends, everyone, you know, who knows your experience, they read this, they see this, it's, you know, something that's, you know, in history now at this point. Right. And just creating a family legacy are, you know, artifacts really of like your experience, and it's like printed forever. Like it can't go anywhere at this point. So, it's good. Cause I was thinking like, for like, our parents, not necessarily our parents, but our parents' parents, like it's hard to find stuff about them, right? Unless it's really hard.
Yeah.
Right. Like pictures, some of the, like I was going through old like photo albums and like the pictures are like destroyed, right? Just because they used to have that film over it and stuff. So, you know, newspaper clippings are starting to like, you know, get weather and stuff like that. So it's like, now today, like it's so important to document your experiences and like stuff like this, you know, that are beautifully done, right? You can not only does it impact, you know, your family, but also, you know, everyone who reads it. So, you know, you did a great job with this, bro. So appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, you're redefining the Black experience. You're doing it right now with this, you know, and it came to it from a vision. And now it's like a reality now, right? So, you know, you can help others do the same thing with their stories that they've been thinking about. Because a lot of times we have a lot of stuff in our head, but we never, you know, put it to paper. So you've done that. And, you know, that's inspiring, bro.
Thanks. Appreciate it, man. I mean, I will say all of this inspiration and ideas came from people that we interviewed on the show. Like I'll never forget the Black Book Company that we interviewed.
Mahogany Books.
Yeah. Like all of that inspiration came from even starting the business and even putting the book under the LLC, and just all of that, all of those things came from advice from the show, rather. Like, so yeah
no, that is true. It's true. A lot of things from the podcast, you know, we are intentional with like the guests that we have on here, because they always, you know, fill a certain topic that's important in terms of your life, right? Whether that's, you know, we have people reach out to us about homeschooling, so we have someone about homeschooling. We have people talking about, hey, I want to start a business, so we have people tell you how to start a business. We had, you know, people about books, right, who did children. We had actually authors in here. We had, you know, crypto individuals. We had, you know, people who are investors, real estate. We had different topics on here. So if you're interested, and you can go through all of these episodes to help you move forward in whatever goals that you have. But but lastly, Brown, how are you now? Just like no, but where can people find the book? Like, how can they get it?
Yeah. So just go to Daddy's Weekends on Amazon. Just type in Daddy's Weekends, the correct way, you know, apostrophe S, you know, Weekends. it's the first one that comes up. Author is William P. Brown III. Illustrator is Andrew Stoviken. Both of us are from Jersey, New Jersey.
Shout out to Jersey. Jersey
City, yes.
201.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So guys, everyone listening right now, check out the book. It's a great book. It's beautifully illustrated. And, you know, it's a real story. It's based off real life. And I think to all the fathers out there, happy belated Father's Day. But this one is really something that I think, you know, you should read to your kids. Right. I think it has a lot of meaning behind it. And I think our kids just need to hear, you know, stories, real stories by us, for us. So thank you guys for listening to another episode of the 30 to Life podcast. We really appreciate you, just your support and just listening to these episodes. So make sure you share. Don't be stingy. Give to the needy, and the people need to hear the 30 to Life podcast. It's your boy Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world, brown.
30 to Life. We out.